Well, it's good for us to be back this evening. It's good to have you. If you're visiting with us tonight, we're good to have you with us. It's always a pleasure to have our members and our visitors. We get an opportunity to meet new people, and we get an opportunity to be able to get to know those that we know a little bit better each Sunday. So it's always a good time that we have. Tonight, I thought I would maybe look at a particular chapter in the Bible. It's a very short chapter. It's the longest chapter in the entire Bible, Psalm 119. Very short. It only has 172 verses for us. 176 verses for us. And if I spend just a minute on each one, we should be out of here in 176 minutes. So, no. But you know, it is a long chapter, and it has a great deal to say. It's at the heart of one of the richest psalms that we have from the pen of the psalmist. The theme, no doubt, if we just lay forth and read the book here or the psalm, and we read it, we certainly get the impression that the preciousness of the Word of God. How important the Word of God is to the child of God. How important it is to our daily activity. The spiritual nature of God's communication to us then is definitely at the heart of this wonderful psalm. It is one of the most beautiful written psalms, just from a written perspective. It contains several ideas and several concepts that make it a beautiful beautiful psalm. For example, it's divided into 22 different sections. Each of the sections has 8 verses attached to it, and you should have a heading at the beginning of each of yours. This is specifically designed to indicate that this is one of the Hebrew letters, and each of these sections, these 22 sections, begin with and is as it is an acrostic using those particular letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so we happen to have them spelled out in our Bibles. And so you see that it's broken up into 8 different verses. Now, if I might just give you some idea in regards to some of the items that are going on in the book of Psalms, I think that might help us in regards to understanding the beauty of this particular psalm as well. And when you look at this, there are 8 verses per these 22 chapters. There are 8 terms that are utilized to describe the content of God's book throughout this particular psalm. And they are used repetitively multiple times throughout this particular psalm. We would refer to them as synonyms of the Word of God. For example, if you look in verse number 1, you'll see that the law of the Lord, or thy law, is utilized for the very first time. Blessed are the undefiled. Blessed, he says, in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, this is used 20 other times throughout this particular psalm. It's not the most that are utilized, the most phrase that's utilized, but it is the second. It's used 21 times. You can look throughout there and find the rest of them. We could go through there and we'd spend a lot of time just maybe addressing this aspect of what the book of the Psalm 119 is all about. But that's not really my intent, is to focus just upon that. And look at all of the synonyms and how they are utilized. That would be a wonderful study. But there are 21 times in which this terminology is used. Now, sometimes it refers to testimonies. For example, look at verse number 2 then. In verse number 2, he says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. The word testimonies then is a synonym for the Word of God in this particular case. You look at verse number 4, and you have the concept of precepts. Precepts. Verse number 4, he says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Again, this is a synonym for the Word of God. By the way, testimonies is used 18 times and precept is used 19 times. So you have thy law 21 times, testimonies used 19 times, and you have precepts used 18 times. Now, again, there are 8 of these. The word statutes, for example, in verse number 5, he says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." The word statutes is used some 19 times in this particular psalm. Again, almost every verse of the 176 is going to have one of these synonyms in them. And so you can see how that 8 of these are used quite often. The word commandments is utilized as well some 17 times beginning in verse number 6. Notice he says here, he says, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all of thy commandments." Thy word is utilized 35 times. This is the most utilized phrase or synonym concerning the Word of God. And this begins in verse number 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By giving heed thereto according to thy word." And then the word judgment is utilized some 17 times. The word judgments in verse number 7, it says, "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, and when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." Again, another synonym for this particular word. Then if you look in verse number 30, you will find the final aspect of this, and that is that of truth. The word truth, although not less important than any of the others, is utilized only 4 times in this particular context of Psalm 119. So in verse number 30, for example, he says, "I have chosen the way of truth." Now, there's also idea of the way. Sometimes the way, when it has a definite article, is stressing that aspect of it, the way of God. Much like Jesus said in John 14 in verse number 6, when he said, "I am the way." And he is stressing that aspect of his teaching. His teaching is the only way unto the Father. We must follow after his commandments in order to please the Father. But now, if we just looked at that in the depths of that, and I've just given you a light glimpse of all of those times. But what I would like for us to do is maybe do a couple of other things in regards to Psalm 119. That just kind of gets us ready. That's kind of whets our appetite in the fact that, oh man, this book has multiple ways of teaching me. But let me suggest to you this, that this psalm emphasizes in many different ways the fact that you and I, the fact that humanity should submit to this word. In other words, it's not just a cute little story. It's not one of Aesop's fables. It's not a romance novel. This is a book that is specifically designed for you and I to follow after its precepts. The words, precepts, commandments, law, all of those give us that impression. But notice what he says here. Look at verses 1 and 2. He says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Here is an individual that because of his submission to God's word, he's going to be blessed in that. There's going to be a blessing that's related to the submission to God's word. And so again, we have this concept of the fact that I need to, and by the way, I should want to submit to this word. It's almost as if the psalmist lays out several enticing arguments for the word of God in here. Why you should want to be a New Testament Christian from our perspective. Why you should want to be a follower of God in this particular case. Look at verses 1, and then we'll tie in verse 3. He says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord, verse number 3, that they also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. So pay attention to the word walk there. Again, an idea of submission. As a young boy does in his father's footsteps. He is submitting to the way that his father is doing things. He wants to imitate his father. And so his father is walking and you find the little child behind him trying to stretch out to his footprints, you see. That's the idea. We're walking in the way of the Lord. As Adam and Eve walked in the cool of the garden, or God walked in the cool of the garden with Adam and Eve, they got to walk with Him. And we are walking with Him. We are following in His footsteps. And we are walking with Him. Pay attention to the words kept, or the word keep in verse number 2, for example. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies. You find in verse number 4, for example, He says that Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts. Verse number 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Again, that's another word that's suggesting that I have a willing compliance to the law of God here. I am wanting to submit to the will of God. So you see the mentality of the psalmist here. The psalmist has a desire to do what God has directed him, and these words give us indication of that. For example, verse number 9, the idea of take heed. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto. Another word of submission, right? Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Are you doing what I've asked you to do? The psalmist says that young men cleanse their way by doing what God wants them to do, by submitting unto the will of God. Look at verse number 16, and the phrase is not forget. We should never forget. There's an ideal submission here. You know, I've told my children on many occasions, you know, don't forget what I told you, right? Don't forget. I'm asking them to remember to submit to my instruction as a father. So he says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy words. Look at verse number 34, and in verse number 34, he uses the terminology of observe. Verse number 34, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse number 35, he uses the word go in this particular sense of submission to God's word. He says, make me to go into the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. You see, cause me to walk in your ways. Verse number 42, it's the word trust here. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy ways. Again, other words that we could utilize. Verse number 45, he uses the word seek in this particular way. He says, and I will walk at liberty, for I shall seek thy precepts. The word seek is the ideal of I'm willing to submit to the way that you would have me to do things. Verse number 47, he uses the word delight in this particular sense. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Now there he's talking about the mentality that causes me to keep the commandments. I don't just do them grudgingly, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, but I do them willingly. I do them because that's what I want to do. I delight in that. I delight in my wife's banana pudding. You know, I delight in that. I mean, she makes this big old bowl when we have people come over, and she'll never make that big old bowl unless people come over. And so I like to invite people over, and hopefully people that don't eat very much, especially banana pudding. That way there's a lot left over for the week. I delight in, well, I guess I don't have to tell you that I delight in stuff like that. You can see the evidence of it, right? But that's the ideal. I delight, and so I consume, right? Now, if I delight in the Word of God, I'm going to do what? Consume the Word of God. And so that's how this word is utilized. Look at verse number 70, for example. In verse number 70, he says, verse 70, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in the law of God. So the mentality that would cause me to do what God wants me to do. Verse 59, he utilizes the word turned in this particular way. He says, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet to thy testimonies. In other words, here's a man who was obviously going in the wrong direction. He was obviously, he obviously knew he was going in the wrong direction, so he considered his ways. He's thinking on, you know, this ain't getting me where I want to go. This isn't working out the way I thought it'd work out. I'm going to think on the way that I'm going, and you know what? I see that I'm going in the wrong direction, so I turn my feet to go in God's direction. This is the way. See, it's a matter of submission here. That's the way this terminology is being used. Look at verse number 140. Verse 140. He uses the word love. Now, some of these words are used multiple times throughout the psalmist, Psalm 119. One of the things I like to do is go through and look at words that talk about our affection toward God's word, such as love and delight and things such as that. Those are beautiful words in the Psalms. The word or the phrase with the whole heart. Those are items that are very, very important to the psalmist here as he contemplates on God's word. But look at verse 140. He says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Again, delight in, loveth it is the mental aspect that causes me then to pay attention and give heed and walk in the way that God would have me to walk. So the book of the Psalm, the chapter, Psalm 119, can be looked at from many different perspectives. We can look at it from the vantage point of all of those synonyms of the Word of God, how it presents the Word of God. In fact, a deeper study of that, I would suggest, is very important so that you can see how each of those words are utilized. Why does he choose the word commandment? Why precept? Why the law? Why statutes? Why commandments? Each of those have a different idea about the law of God. It's much like the New Testament church. Why does Scripture call the church sometimes the vineyard of God? Because there's labor involved. Because there's growth that is to take place. It is an active place. It is where things are going on, you see. There is a servant that is working in the vineyard of God to produce growth in that field. It's called a kingdom so that we would always understand that we are citizens and that as citizens we have a Lord. The same principle is true with God's choice of words such as commandment and precept and things such as that. But what I'd like for us to do tonight as well is to look at the ideal of what the Word of God accomplishes for us or what it offers us as well. You see, sometimes we need a little incentive, right? We need a little incentive to take care of what we need to take care of. Now, sometimes people are too involved in the incentives. You know, when you hear, you know, when you're talking to somebody, they say, well, what can you do for me? That's a person that's dwelling too much on the incentives. Now, God can do a lot for you, but it's not all about the incentives. But listen, you can't read the Word of God without knowing that there is blessing after blessing, promise after promise, the items that God would want to include within our lives. I mean, it's amazing when you think about all of them that go on. And by the way, if you're thinking the same thing that I'm thinking, I did not have a nap this afternoon, but I'm looking forward to one tonight. So if my phrases are rattling just a little bit, I'm thinking the same thing you're thinking in my head. So don't say, well, I don't want to think that because I don't want to think. But no, I'm thinking the same thing in my head, that my sentences aren't flowing as sweetly as I would like for them to tonight. But what does the Word of God do for us? Let's go back to verse number one. Verse number one, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. The very first statement out of the psalmist's pen is that the people that follow the Word of God are people that are going to be blessed. It interests me that in the first two verses, the word blessed is utilized here. You see, it causes people to be blessed, but notice this as well. It causes people to be upright. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. You see, if you walk the way God would have us to walk, then we're undefiled in that way. There is a blessing that is attached to that. Look at verse number 7, for example. There it talks about the fact that the Word of God actually causes us to offer proper praise. You know, today's mentality is that we can just praise God any way that we want to. We can worship Him, and some people worship Him different than other people. But if we have the confinements of God's Word, the borders and boundaries of God's Word, worship cannot exceed those boundaries, or it is in vain. It's not the way God wanted it to be offered. But notice verse 7. He says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I have learned thy righteous judgments. So the Word of God teaches us how God wants to be worshipped. Now, let me just pause here and give you an example. It's a clear and easy example of John chapter 4, right? In verse number 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must. You ought to underline that in your Bible or highlight it. Must worship Him in spirit and truth. If you're going to draw nigh unto God with the fruit of your lips and you're going to give praise and adoration to Him, He says there is a must involved in that. And it must be in spirit and in truth. Now then, we have to define spirit and truth. That's not our lesson tonight. But if I'm going to go on with that point, that's what we would naturally have to do, right? We'd have to define what spirit and truth is. But it causes, the Word of God causes me to offer up proper praise unto God. Look at verse number 9. We've mentioned it a couple of times in different aspects, but it cleanses me. You see, if we are defiled and sin defiles us, sin separates us, it defiles us, it makes us dirty, where we need to be washed, and the Word of God is that which, when we follow that, it gets us to that point to where we can be cleansed. See, only in the Word of God are you going to find the blood of Jesus. Only in the Word of God are you going to find that a man needs to be baptized in order to contact the blood of Jesus. That's in the Word of God. So you have, when you follow the Word of God, there is cleansing. There is a mental cleansing that takes place. Not just the spiritual cleansing of what takes place in baptism, but also a mental cleansing. Listen, if you sit and you watch television, and you can allow Hollywood, to instruct you on how you should live, and, you will muddy your mind in regards to the way things ought to be. You can listen to music. There's very little music out there that is of any value to cleanse the mind. And so the Word of God has the ability to do that. Just a New Testament example real quick. Is that not what Philippians 4 and verse number 8 is talking about? If we dwell on these things, if we think about good thoughts, good things, good deeds, I mean, then our mind is refreshed. There's the transformation of the mind that is spoken of in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. It is transformed by the renewing of the mind. It's transformed by the Word of God. And so there is a cleansing that takes place. There is a spiritual cleansing that takes place so that I can come into the presence of God. And then there is a cleansing of my entire being, my soul, my mind, all that is associated with what I give praise to God now is cleansed. Now the filth of the flesh no longer has power over me. I am cleansed. Look at verse number 11. It helps me to avoid sin. He says there, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So it aids me and assists me to avoid sin. Look at verse number 15. It helps me gather respect. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. So the meditation of the Word of God helps me to respect the Word of God. You see, so I got to, if I'm going to have the proper mentality to the Word of God, I've got to put some effort into the study of God's Word. Look at verses 16, and then we'll look at verse 47 after that. But it helps me to delight and to remember. Notice verse number 16. He says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy words. So now my delight in the Word of God is helping me not to forget the Word of God. Look at verse number 47 and 48. I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. My hand also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate upon thy statutes. So the ideal of delighting in helps me to meditate and helps me to remember God's Word. So the psalmist is laying down here, and each of these, by the way, each one of these verses probably should be on your calendar to study in-depthly. What exactly about the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, what exactly about that will help me to remember? What exactly about these items, my delight in it, what exactly will help me in delighting in the Word of God, will help me to stay away from sin? And there are multiple examples in the Bible that will help us to do that. Look at verse number 21. Verse number 21, he says, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Listen, it will help me understand who God is. It will help me appreciate what God does. God rebukes those who curse him, who are contrary or living contrary to his ways. He will rebuke them that do that. And he will rebuke those that curse his servants. And so out of that, then, I get an understanding of who God is. By the way, there's a lot said in this particular psalm about who God is. And that would be an excellent study in and of itself. But look at verse number 28. Verse number 28, he says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. How many of us really want to be stronger than we are? I think most of us would raise our hand. Oh, yeah, that's me. I want to be stronger. I want to be able to avoid all of the snares of the devil. I want to be so strong that I can lead people to Christ. I want to be strong enough that no matter what temptation or trial comes my way, that I stand firm. I want to be strong enough that I never sin. That is the goal of the Christian life. That's what 1 John says. The goal is to sin not. But if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, you see. But the goal is not to sin. Well, if I pay attention to and I love and delight and meditate and remember the words of God and make proper application in my life, then sin will lessen in my life. Sin doesn't grow where the Word of God flourishes. You see, sin is put down. And so there's a lot of strength that an individual can have in regards to those things as well. I think when you look at this book, I mean, there are so many things that we could talk about. I want to just spend a little bit of time in regards to the love for and the treasure that we ought to have with regards to God's book and how we ought to think about it. Just for a few minutes here. Just a couple of verses. You know, love causes one to delight in God's commandment. Look at verse number 47 again. Notice how he phrases it. I will delight in thy commandments which I have loved. It's the love that causes me to delight in, and that love causes me to meditate in verse number 48. that love causes me to meditate all the day, he says in verse number 97. That love causes me to see the value of God's love in verse number 127. There he says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. I have a proper perspective on life now because of the Word of God. Love causes one to know that God's Word is pure. No, that it's very pure. Verse number 140, thy Word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. And on we could go with the aspects of love and what loving God's Word will do for me. These are the blessings that I receive from loving God's Word. You know, if you love somebody, you want to spend time with them. If you love somebody, you care about what they care about. That's what love does. And so when I love my wife, I want to spend time with her. I care about what she cares about. We have mutual affections and we have mutual interests and we have mutual desires in regards to those things. And so when I love the Word of God, then I'm going to want to spend more time with it, you see. I want to be intimately involved with the things of it. I'm going to treasure the things that it treasures. God's Word is rich. And it brings great rejoicing, verse number 14. God's law is better, he says, than thousands of gold and silver. God's commandments are exceedingly broad. That is, they have a great blessing upon us in so many different aspects of our life. God's word is a lamp and a light, Psalm 119 and verse number 105. It's sweeter than honey in verse 103. It is above fine gold, 127. It is wonderful, he says in Psalm 129. Again, we could go on and on with the illustrations there. But that's the idea. I wanted to kind of give a little bit of insight, maybe a little bit of focus on us tonight in regards to what this psalmist says about the Word of God. Remember, it's not just the psalmist's thoughts. This is the inspired Word of God. This is our Creator, our Sustainer, and our Eternal Judge who says, this is the mentality that I'm seeking in my people. When you pick up the Bible and you look at the Bible, how do you look at the Bible? What kind of affection and desire do you have to this book? You see? Now, there are some people, when they approach this book, it repulses them. Some of the door knockers came back and said, well, I was talking to one guy and I mentioned that, if you're a religion, get off my porch, you know. There were very few of those, but there were some of them. You see? They were repulsed by the Bible or what they thought the Bible was. Now, there are some people that neglect the Bible. They have one. They're not necessarily repulsed by it, but they just never really pick it up and read it. It doesn't become a part of their life. There are some people that are somewhat acquainted with the Bible. They know a few Bible verses, and they can kind of converse with you a little here and a little there about Bible topics. But they're not really intimately affectionate toward the Word of God. It's not a part of their daily life. And so the Word of God then needs to become very important to us as the people of God. Just think about this. How will it become important to the world? Important to your neighbor, important to your family, important to your coworkers, important to everybody that you meet if it is not important to you? Now, is that not a part of what Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16 is saying? Is that not a part of let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works? Is that not the aspect of what we sung before the lesson? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men. The fourth verse talks about our Christian life. That's the Matthew 5:16 principle there, letting our light shine to influence other people. When we live it right, then people ought to be able to see that, and good people will be drawn to that. And so the Word of God then is something that I ought to consider very, very precious. It is something that should be meditated upon. It is something that should be obeyed. It is something that should direct my steps. It is something that I need to learn so that I can teach others. It is something that if it is obeyed, it will bring me hope and peace and love in my life. If it is obeyed, then I will have a family that will love me, and I can be a part of that family. God's word is to be loved and appreciated, and it is to be lived and died for. It is something that is extremely precious to the child of God. It is a connection to God. You know, today is Father's Day. My children tried to get a hold of me today. Well, Caleb did get a hold of me because he's here, but the other ones tried to get a hold of me. I had my phone up here and left it here at the building. And when I got back, there were several texts that I'd gotten. You know, several phone calls said, "Happy Father's Day." Well, I missed every one of those because I didn't have my phone with me. See, my phone is my connection to others. My phone is my connection to my children. That's how I communicate with them, and they with me. Now, I'm not going to be driving every day up to North Dakota to see my grandchildren and my children up there. I'm probably not going to be driving every day to Ardmore, Oklahoma City, to see the rest of them. But I know this, I've got a phone that connects me to people that I love. Might I suggest this in closing, that the Word of God is our connection to God. And it's God's connection to us. You see, He wrote this to a people that He loved. He sent His Son, and that's the message here. He sent His Son to die for us. And that's the message right here in this book. And He wants us to know about it. So He made sure that we had these so that He could communicate His will to us. And when I read it, and when I study it, and when I begin to apply it, I have a connection to God, the one to whom I love. I love Him because He is family. He is family. He created me. I am a child of God in the recreation process. He loves me, you see. And I want to communicate that I love Him. And as the psalmist has so well put, we do that by keeping His commandments, by loving His Word. You know, there are some times when your children don't listen to you very well. And you when they get older, especially in teenage years, and you have to talk to them about listening properly, right? Are you listening, right? That's a phrase every parent of a child. Are you listening to me? You know, don't turn your back on me. Listen to me, right? God wants to be listened to, and He is listening to us. So let me close with the invitation of Jesus to come. There are individuals maybe that are here that are not children of God. And Jesus is calling you to the side of the Father. He's calling you to the cross. And He's doing so in His Word. And He's asking you to believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's asking you to repent of all of your past sins. He is asking you to confess that your faith in the fact that He is the Savior. He is asking you to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. You see, He is calling you to the Father, and He wants you to obey that word. How much do you love God? At this point, do you love Him enough to listen to Him? Do you love Him enough to do what He says do? As children of God, that should be absolutely true for us. But there may be someone here tonight that's a child of God, a member of the church, and you need prayers of the church for some reason, if you will come, we will make sure that you are served as together we stand and sing.